This is Jim Sensi, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. Today I have one of the best when it comes to studies of video fakery on 9/11. His name is Killtown, and he has a website at killtown.blogspot.com. We're there now. And, KT, I'm just looking at this Harry Zakani clip you got there where you see the plane going into the building over and over again. You don't see any evidence of the cutouts that would later appear. They haven't been caused. They haven't been brought about as effects of the plane going through the building. And most strikingly, you got the plane all the way in the building and there's yet to be any explosion from the fuel tanks. Surely that's got to be another physical impossibility.
And you don't see it crumpling. You don't see the wings jerking forward as if it hit a solid, somewhat solid object. You don't see the wings or the tail section get hacked off. I mean, the tail section goes in just consistently, like it hasn't slowed down at all.
You know, it's really remarkable how some students of the case, like Holmgren, like the Webb Ferry, and a few others, were on this from the beginning. You know, it was just so obvious to them. And yet, even for me, it took years before I was able to separate the issues of video fakery from no planes and actually get my mind wrapped around it. And then, of course, in April of last year, I started having guest after guest devoted to this. I probably had at least 20 shows, including with you and Morgan and Ace and Joe and John and so forth. I mean, it's written in Webb Ferry. It's been extremely beneficial to me. And now I look at this stuff, I look at these videos, and I say, how could anyone have ever been taken in to suppose that could be authentic? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, I think it's a lot like Shanksville when the first conspiracy theories about Shanksville came out. What was it? It was about Flight 93 being shot down. But it made it still believe that Flight 93 still crashed in that empty field and made this
went into an abandoned mine shaft, KT, didn't you know? It just disappeared into that abandoned mine shaft.
Yeah, it just
disappeared
underground.
Well, you know, we don't have to do with miners in abandoned mine shafts. We don't have
the
equipment out, put on the light,
grass
24/7 in the hope that by some miracle someone will have survived. None of that was done. So the behavior of the officials on the scene contradicts the story we're supposed to swallow. I notice you have our call-in number up. It's 1-866-866-582-9933, 866-582-9933, and KT, we do have a caller on the phone now. It's sure. Bill from Austin. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Jim, and I'm very interested in all your shows, but especially your TV fakery and other kinds of shows along the line that Killtown has been doing research.
Bill, it's just astounding, you know? I mean, it took me forever to get around to open my mind to this, and now I just can't believe that I didn't recognize it from the beginning.
Well, there's even some more evidence that can help people out there because, Jim, I sympathize with exactly how long it took. It was only through corresponding through Webb Ferry and a lot of other people online that I could even begin to get my head around it. It was probably at least a six-month process for me,
yeah.
Mostly in 2005.
Very
good. And still we can have our disagreements, but I don't want to talk about disagreements today. If you look at the photograph that was ostensibly taken of the second hit by the woman from Arkansas, and I apologize for not remembering her name. If you look at Carmen Taylor's photo, it ran in the New York Times, if I'm not mistaken. And the photo has the same definition or the same details of fakery that you see in the video of the same shot. And so it looks like they just took that photo from the video and claimed that it was hers. Do you have an opinion on that, Killtown?
KT, do you have it up here anywhere?
Well, especially it's what I kind of wanted to talk about next. If you go to my first blog, I have the links. I have the link called The Tourists, and it's a video I made about the Hezer Connie video and the Carmen Taylor photos. Now they were supposedly
both. Oh yeah,
both.
Okay. And it's 4 minutes and 34. Well, we'll play it during the next segment.
Okay, but real quickly, what it's about is they were supposedly on a tourist boat in Battery Park on the dock right before the second hit happened, and they were filming the smoke coming out of the North Tower, and then the plane comes behind them and crashes in. And if you look, And if you look at all the footage released, video or photos, remarkably, Michael Hezekani and Carmen Taylors are the only two people that have footage from Battery Park and on a tour boat. That begs the question, what happened to all the other tourists? Why didn't they take any pictures? Where's their videos? Are you going to tell me that, you know, all of them went on this tour boat without a camera?
That's great, Casey, because one of the things you do on a tour boat is take pictures. You're going out there to have a memory book of the sights that you see from that location as it moves around.
Exactly. And now in the Hezekani video, we heard a bunch of screams, so it sounded like lots of people were on the boat or, waiting on Battery Park. Where's their footage?
So they had cameras, but they forgot to use them when this spectacular event, one of the most crucial in world history, was taking place before their very eyes?
Exactly. And Carmen Taylor had mentioned when she was waiting in line for the boat, she was talking to an Asian couple. And you know the stereotype of Asian couple tourists, they always have a camera.
That's absolutely right. Bill, I'm going to play this. I want you to stay on for the next segment because we'll play this thing and then we'll talk about it. So I imagine you've been on KT's website?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So if you've got the tourists set up, when we come back from the next break, I'll play it and then we can talk about it some more. What else would you like to have, like to say?
Well, I think something everybody's interested in, and I'm curious if there's an update available. On Fox News on 9/11, there was a man who was interviewed that was wearing a Harley Davidson T-shirt and a Harley hat, I think. And he's the one that was like an actor. He had his little speech about that explained to the whole public exactly what caused the World Trade Center to tumble down.
Yeah.
Has anybody located who that person is?
He was probably an unemployed actor. I mean, it was so phony in retrospect, and yet it got huge play at the time. I mean, it was, in retrospect, you just see these things, they stick out like a sore thumb.
And I used that clip of him. I have a video called Why Use Real Planes, and it's kind of a short video for my article, Why They Didn't Use Planes to Hit the World Trade Center. And this is why I make the point that the perps needed the perception of planes penetrating through the building, and this Harley Davidson T-shirt wearing guy on the ground. He gave the official story. He said the planes crashed, penetrating all the way through, coming out the other side. You know, I mean, he emphasizes that. He sounds totally scripted, and he looks solely fake wearing this Harley shirt and black hat. I mean, he's trying to look like a quote unquote average Joe, but he looks so obvious. But I mean. That's the whole point. You know, they needed to come out and start selling the official story how, you know, the planes penetrated all the way through. You know, if it didn't penetrate all the way through and crashed up only on the facade, no one would believe that would be enough to take down the towers.
And just going on from there, talking about who was there and how they were scripted and how you can see not just foreknowledge, but total conspiracy to create this whole, bogus story. People who have researched the Not A Brothers have learned a lot about them, and I'll get to that after the break, real briefly.
Very good, Bill. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Killtown, and my caller, Bill from Austin. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.
Made by Bagger Ryerson!
except for your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today, Killtown, is with us, as well as Bill from Austin. Killtown, when we played your last video, the soundtrack, I was a little ahead of what you were reading off of the video, so yours was running a little behind mine. Does this one, Killtown, the tourists, have script too?
Yeah, it is, but you know, but instead of playing it, I can just run through it real quick.
I'd like to play it, because I think, you know, you've done a lot of good work here, and I want to encourage our listeners, you know, to be there to watch it, you know, to take the time while we're on the air to do that. And then,
you can play it, and I can read it.
Yeah, I'm about to play it, but now for coordination, I'm gonna start, and I'll count down to from 3, 2, 1, and start.
Okay,
3, 2, 1, start.
So the film is called The Tourists, and it's starring Carmen Taylor and Michael Hezrakani, who both took footage. Both of them caught what I think was the most dramatic footage of 9/11. Start off showing the video of Michael Hezrakani, who seems to know exactly when and where the plane's going to come in. And then some photos by Carmen Taylor, who caught the plane right about to hit the South Tower, very similar to Michael Hezrakani's. They both appear to be docked on a boat in Battery Park, which is a tour boat, a ferry boat, inspired by Castle Clinton. And I show a couple pictures of where a dock boat would be in relation to the World Trade Center. Next is, you know, they both amazingly happen to be zoomed out to catch this plane that was supposedly flying at 590 miles per hour. Carmen Taylor also took some photos of the first crash aftermath while she was supposedly on the ground waiting to get onto the boat. Since something's really odd about these two tourists at Battery Park, you know. On Mr. Hezrakani's video, you can hear lots of screams of different people. And I show the video, and then you hear the screams of the people, and their screams actually start before the plane hits the tower. Then we go on to that finishes. And then he says, "Oh my God, the plane just crashed into the building. I could not believe it," you know, which his voice sounds so scripted, and he mentions the plane. You can also see what appears to be the top of a man's head on Carmen Taylor's photo, but I'm not so sure anymore. It seems like there's a lot of other people on the boat. You know, it's a tourist boat. It's fair. It's got to be a lot of other people on there. The odds are that would have brought a lot of these, and then show like a tourist with some cameras. Now I ask people to go scour the internet for footage taken from that tour boat on Battery Park on 9/11, or on the ground from Battery Park, and I ask, could you find any? Well, neither could I. I couldn't find any more. So how likely is it that only two tourists took and released footage from that tour boat on 9/11? In a phone interview, Mrs. Taylor mentioned she was with a group. So if she was with a group, you know, where's their footage? You know, did they not bring any cameras? She also mentioned she was talking to an Asian couple while waiting in line, and, you know, where's their footage? You know, we know the stereotype of Asian tourists. They all seem to bring along a camera. Their boat looks to have been the second boat docked at Battery Park before the crash at 9:03. The first one left at 9:30. Then on the Brooklyn Bridge shot of the second hit, you see a ferry boat go under the Brooklyn Bridge, and another infamous of second hit video. Regardless if it was, where's the footage from that tour boat? You know, that tour boat saw the crash. Where is that, you know? Then I say Ms. Taylor was on the ground taking photos before she allegedly got on this boat. Why was her footage the only one taken from the ground? You know, lots of people were waiting to get on the tour boat at Battery Park in line. You know, they would have been taking shots just like Carmen Taylor was on the ground, and so far I haven't found any. So, you know, as I ask, where's all their footage? Where's all the footage from people from the rest of the park? You know, we got people on the boat and waiting in line. Where is their footage? What about the other boats that were seen right off Battery Park as the second crash happened? And you can see a lot of boats kind of in the distance. You know, where's their footage? And Sarek asks, well, of course, one must wonder, why didn't Mr. Hezrakani take any footage of the burning North Tower while also waiting online? You know, he had a video camera. He's filming from the boat. Why doesn't he film from the ground? So are we supposed to believe these are the only two tourists who took and released footage from Battery Park on the morning of 9/11, you know? Or was everybody out of film that day? You know, it just... The odds are that, you know, there would be more than footage from two people, you know? There should have been hundreds of tourists on Battery Park that morning. Where is all the rest of their footage?
I love it, KT. I think you've done a great job with this one, too. Bill, would you like to add some comments?
Absolutely. If you research the news articles there were interviews with Carmen Taylor, or she talked about how there's actually a picture where she's shown in one news report, and she's actually holding the camera in her hands, and it looks all authentic, and it's a brand new digital camera that she'd gotten either a week before or 2 weeks before. So she's representing herself as a novice photographer and just happened to have that camera. Here's what's so key that makes the story even more bogus. She did not pull the digital frames off her camera herself. Some nice man, she reports, met her and volunteered to take her camera and take the digital photographs off the camera for her.
Really?
How bogus.
That's right. Yes, that is true.
So he could have ensured that she had the right one.
So I don't believe a single photo that's reported to have come from that camera probably came from that camera, even if she did take the pictures.
Well, that's just like Evan Fairbanks, who said he borrowed someone's camera, and after he took his footage, the FBI confiscated it and took a copy of it, gave him a copy, not his original back, and his copy had no audio. I mean, hello?
And it goes deep with
it.
It goes deeper with Carmen Taylor. And I tell you, you know, when 10 years ago, when I didn't believe any of this could ever happen to our country, I never could suspect that there would be such a network of people who would work against the interest of the country. But as you watch and read, you see that there's some kind of collusion that's gone on, and you see certain indicators of how that collusion can take place behind the scenes.
It is very scary, Bill. I think a lot of these people believe what they're doing is in the best long-term interest of the country, and that we have to, you know, the American people have to be sent a wake-up call. I mean, they've been brainwashed, basically. It's really stunning. But I think a lot of these people are sincere but misguided.
Right.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Killtown. And, Bill, you're welcome to hang on if you'd like. Bill
Belong
and Jim
Pepper,
your host on the Dynamic Duo.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Jim Fester, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today is Killtown, one of the best when it comes to proving video fakery on 9/11, and we still have Bill from Austin on the line with us. Bill, is there anything you'd like to add before I free you up?
Yeah, I'll jump off in just a second. One thing that I'd like to suggest people Google, and it's the kind of thing, in addition to what Killtown posts, this is the kind of video that could even convince Alex Jones to get on the right side of this argument, because
yeah.
I called in, and Alex is so resistant. But if you Google Not It Bros 101, N-O-T space I-T space B-R-O-W space 101, it's on YouTube, it's on a live link. It's a whole review of the Not A Brothers and how the video they were set to take was all pre-planned, and then how it was manipulated for that special that showed on TV about the whole thing.
Bill,
it's
let's
also
that again. Not It Brow, B-R-O-W?
B-R-O-S. I'm sorry, Bros.
B-R-O-S. Not It Bros. .com?
Right. No, Not It Bros. 101 in Google. Google it.
101, Not It Bros. 101?
Correct.
Okay, just Google on Not It Bros. 101.
And have you heard of this?
I have. KT, have you?
Yes, I have. I probably saw it before, but I've seen so many videos I can't call correctly.
It's been out since April of this year. It's great stuff.
Since you're talking about Nade and this video, which I haven't seen and Killtown can't recall if he's seen, I got a question here from a listener who sent it by email. And he says, his name is Rudy, and Rudy says, how do Killtown and I explain the Nade film, or that in the Nade film, Pfeiffer and crew, these are the firemen, look up at the first strike before it hits the building. If what we claim is true, then Pfeiffer would have to have been involved in the planning.
Not at all. I think there's documented that there were planes in the area, so if, you know, the way he's looking up, it doesn't seem like he's just looking up. He doesn't seem to be looking up particularly where this plane's supposedly coming from. So if you have another loud aircraft going through the area, he's just going to look up. So, which a lot of people believe there was like flybys or something. So that would account for him looking up.
Bill, would you like to add on to this?
Well, see, I don't want to take away from Killtown's town. I think some kind of missile was responsible for the first hit. So I do think they looked up and saw something. And I think the witnesses who claimed to hear a high-pitched sound, and that those kind of reports came on TV, I think those witnesses are being straight. So I'm not a total no-planer at all.
Do you think the firemen were involved?
Yeah, oh, yeah. At the very top, yes. At the very top, absolutely. Oh, yeah, and the Nade brothers are as bogus.
That's what I mean. In relation to the Nade brothers' footage, the firemen knew what was going on, or at least some of them?
I think very few people really knew what was going on.
Yeah.
All it took was a few top people to be. But the Nade
I agree
brothers,
with that.
The Nade brothers didn't have to know that they were being used, but they were very effectively used. And, yeah, the people who were responsible for getting them to report that fire leak, or the gas leak, excuse me, and for placing that camera there, that was all pre-planned. But in terms of whether the brothers knew what they were doing, I have no idea. But, there's so much good research, and Killtown has a lot of it. Web Ferry has great research. But one more thing. Not that it matters. I have done very little original work, so I don't consider myself on par with you or Killtown, Jim. But I had a blog at Google at Blogspot, and of course they shut me down after I'd done 2 years of postings on 9/11.
Really?
They shut me down as of January 1st around this year.
Did they delete all your good work?
I can still get to it myself, but it's not open to the public. So I've transferred it over other places. I have a video that is almost a site that's almost all copied videos, no original work, but can I plug my video site?
Oh, absolutely. I wish you would.
Sure. It's my name, Bill, last name Giltner, Giltner, BillGiltner.blip.tv.
BillGiltner.blip.tv.
Yeah, I think I've been to your new site, Bill. And I've looked at your old blog a lot, so I really appreciate it, because I've noticed you linked me a lot there.
Hey, Bill, you got a fan here, okay?
And if for anybody who wants more, if they want more proof, I still recommend highly, and you can find this at my video site. If you type in a search of 911 taboo, Genghis is, I'm not even sure how you say his name, but that video is still gold.
911 Taboo by Genghis. Good.
Right.
I'm delighted you called in, okay, and I'm glad you stayed on.
And I have no idea why Genghis says bad things about Killtown. I have no idea about lots of things. There's lots of mysteries.
I still don't know why he hates me so much. He never will give me a straight answer.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks so much for calling in, Bill. It's great having you on. Well, KT, where should we go now?
I don't know. Are there any more callers?
Not at the moment.
Okay. You know, a point I was making about the witnesses from the plane crashes is that I challenged a couple people who, always think, TV fakery was impossible because there's too many witnesses. I challenged them to find me one reporter on the ground reporting live into the station of them seeing or hearing a plane, and not one of them can be found.
Oh, hey, we got a call. Rudy from Michigan. Rudy, how are you doing?
How you doing, Jim?
Good, good, good. I think that was your question I just asked, was it not?
Yeah, I was curious how you guys, if you guys believe there were no planes, then how do you explain Pfeiffer and the crew in the Not A film looking up at a plane that didn't exist?
KT, you want to handle that?
Well, yeah, I answered this before. I do think there are planes in the area or even a missile. I'm not opposed to a missile hitting the building. You know, when I say no planes, that means no big planes with big wings and stuff. So, and he just kind of looks up. So I think something was in the air flying by, so that could account for that. It's just the weird, you know, the object you see going into the building doesn't quite look like a plane to me. It looks really fuzzy. So I don't think any of them were necessarily in on it. I think it was all scripted, meaning that they were told to go there. But I think most of them are innocent. I mean, I wouldn't doubt that some higher-ups in the fire department and these organizations were in on it, because I've talked to people who worked for the fire department or EMT, and they say, you know, it's a good old boy network, and there's a lot of corruption at the top. So, but with him just looking up, I do think there was an aircraft in the area.
What's your take on this, Rudy?
Well, I see that in the film. Afterwards, he's interviewed in the Not A film, and he specifically says, we looked up and saw the plane fly over and go into the building. And a couple of the firemen actually talk about how they shifted their bodies trying to make the plane, you know, swerve around the building. That sounds like someone describing something they actually saw as opposed to, you know, looking back and remembering something that didn't happen.
Well, what do you think about the arguments that what we're seeing in the films isn't physically possible and therefore the films have to be fake?
Well, the thing is that if the films are fake, then we don't know if the planes are fake and we don't know if the buildings are fake. What we're looking at, if it's a fake, like for instance, you guys say about the plane speed. But if the films are fake, then where are we determining plane speed from?
That's true. Oh. That's a good point.
Well, you're determining the idea is, the line that Ace would take is that, you know, they have authentic footage of the buildings to which they added by a process called compositing footage of the planes, so that you integrated, you know, real footage with this previously prepared footage in order to ensure you'd have the plane strikes.
Yeah, but it could be speeded up or slowed down, so we can't really use that to determine any kind of plane speed because it's already been manipulated in order to make the film we're looking at.
Well, we can still drive uniform motion, for example, and of course the mode of entry. We'll come back to this. Stick around, Rudy. Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.
Living is easy with eyes closed. Misunderstanding all you see. It's getting hard to be someone, but it all works out. It doesn't matter much to me. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to strawberry fields. Nothing is real, and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry fields forever.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch Kevin here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. Today I'm concluding my conversation with Killtown, one of the best of the best when it comes to studies of video fakery. And we have on the line Rudy from Michigan, and Rudy's raising some questions. Rudy, let me ask you this. One of the points you made was maybe that the videos were sped up, right, so that you can't judge how fast the plane was going?
Right.
But, of course, you can judge how fast the plane is going as it is portrayed in the video. And if it's going too fast as it's portrayed in the video, then there's fakery, and of course speeding up a video would be one way of faking it. So, I mean, you'd have video fakery either way. The point you're making, I think, is that in that case you might have video fakery but still have real planes.
Well, my thing is that it seems like the no plane theory in the movement maybe should be more no airliners, because even the no planers seem to believe that something was used, whether it was some missile or a military plane. But for instance, I heard Warren from Duran Duran, I don't remember his last name.
Cucurello.
Yeah, he said his brother was on the other side of the river, and he saw black planes flying up towards the towers, and he assumed it was one of our planes coming to help, and then that plane went right into the towers. Now, Warren claims he's a no-planer, but he's saying on the Jack Blood show that his brother saw a plane go into the tower.
That's very curious. But right now, I'm inclined to think that they did it all with videos, you know, just for the sake of all the reasons that Killtown, among others, has enumerated. You know, there are maybe other arguments, but I think his are a wonderful distillation, and his point about penetration so that you could claim there was damage to the core columns is impeccable. Would you agree that at least just looking at the videos that we got a plane that's going too fast, that we got an entry into the building that appears impossible, that we have a violation of Newton's laws because you have uniform motion in air and in the going into the building? Would you agree with those?
Well, I would agree that what we're shown on the video couldn't have happened the way we're shown it. I agree.
Okay, good. Good. That's the argument about video fakery. And then the question becomes, how do we go from video fakery to decide whether there were planes or no planes?
Well,
and this is where I think you're raising the questions that are concerning you.
I remember early on, there was a guy who called in right in the beginning of the whole incident, and he was calling from a car. And as he ended his phone call to the news station, he said, I'm going to let you go. The guy beside me got hit by a wheel, and I'm going to get out and see if I can help him.
The guy beside me?
Yeah, he said a guy right beside him got hit by a wheel that came out of the building during the explosion and landed on his car.
Yeah, that was about the first. That was about Flight 90 or Flight 11's alleged landing gear that was found under a canopy. And I do recall what the caller is referring to. And I don't know, that could have just been the perp calling in.
Yeah, well, bear in mind, Rudy, that if you're going to try to make a phony story like this plausible, you're going to want to drop little anchors, you know, little incidents like the ones you're talking about that are. If you take them to be true, then you tend to believe the story, even if in its characteristics, for example, in relation to what's seen in the videos, they can be shown to be false.
I agree, but I think that these little anchors they've left, if it was indeed them, then they could be followed to the hospitals, find out if someone was checked in that got hit by a wheel on 9/11,
yeah,
and follow that path and hopefully get.
Yeah, I just mentioned that the guy who, you know, was the executive director of the 9/11 commission, Philip Zelikow, turns out to be not a scientist, not an historian, but an expert in the creation and manipulation of public myths. So this is a guy who understands how you can create, you know, a political entity in the form of a phony story and make it plausible and use it for political purposes. I mean, you couldn't cast anyone better in the role he had, and I would have no doubt, my opinion would be, he had a role in planning the whole thing to make sure the cover-up would be, you know, convincing to the American people.
Can I ask Rudy a question real quick?
Please.
And Rudy, I'm not asking to put you on the spot or anything, but I just wanted to, I'm just curious. Do you know where the term no-planers came from, no-planes came from?
No, I don't.
It actually came from the Potters, the people who believe there was a pod under the plane and shot out before it hit the Trade Center. They're the one who coined that term, no-planers, and just kind of stuck on us. But I do hold that one of my theories is that missiles did hit the building. So on the Nade one, that could have been a missile going through, and then they later went back, and they kind of fuzzied it up to look more like a plane. I do hold that theory to be true. I'm, you know, just because we say no planes doesn't mean we think
no
nothing
flying objects.
Yeah. we just think no large aircraft, you know. I mean, we can debate how small it could have been.
Well, no Boeing 767s hit either of the buildings, and it appears no 757s either in the Pentagon and what happened in Shanksville.
Anything with a long with a wingspan, because if you look at both of the gashes in both of the buildings, you can't see any plane parts at all. You'd think there would be like some aluminum dangling, you know, from the plane, something dangling all, you know, wedged into the gash, you know, some seats or something, luggage, something, and
yeah,
you don't see them in the gashes, and you don't see them on the bottom of the ground in front of the towers where some of it should have, like, bounced back when exploded.
I agree, but if they used some kind of aircraft that they didn't want us to see, and they were cunning enough to give us video fakery so we couldn't see them, I'm sure they would have covered the debris and what was left in the building as well.
That is true, but I mean, that's you essentially agree with our theory that, you know, there was TV fakery going on and not the real big 767s or similar planes were used. I mean, that is the no planes theory, you know.
And yes, I do agree with that for sure.
Awesome.
Rudy, I'm really pleased you called in, okay? I hope you'll take another opportunity to call another time. Thank you so much.
For sure. I'm a long-time listener. Thank you very much, guys.
Terrific, Rudy.
Thanks
a lot. Take care. KT, I want you to sort of sketch for the audience, for those who might be new to video fakery, how they should approach it, where they should go, what's a good way to get their feet wet.
Well, you can go to my blog at killtown.blogspot.com. On the side, I have link tags into subjects, the No Planes TV Fakery, etc. You can go there. You also go to our forum at 911movement.org, where there's a lot of no-planers, a lot of good research there to get your feet wet. And might I add, it's the only 9/11 forum that won't censor you for your beliefs. And the disturbing thing is we're the only one who doesn't censor. You know, all the other 9/11 forums out there will censor you if they don't like what you say, if they don't like certain theories.
Is it your impression, KT, that video fakery is becoming more widely accepted, a more respectable topic for discussion among 9/11 researchers?
Well, yeah, just the other day, I guess website BrassCheck posted a new No Planes video, and a guy who's kind of grilled me, he wasn't being insulting, but he has emailed me in the past and asked me not to talk about TV fakery. He actually said I may be right, and he might have to owe me an apology. You know? So I think the evidence is overwhelming. You know, they can't resist the evidence. And you know, real quick, last couple minutes we have, you know, Jim. You know, they always say you and me are disinfo agents, and we're part of this government cabal specifically put out these false theories. You know, I mean, come on, can you imagine that? You know, that means that we're in this boardroom in the back, and you know, the top dog is saying, okay, we have to come out with a false theory to spread out there and be believable to, discredit the movement. You know, what's the odds there are so many pieces of evidence to support it? I mean, that's just astronomical.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Frankly, I have better things to do with my time than spread false stories. Figuring out the truth is hard enough because, as they say, the truth in this case is stranger than fiction. KT, I want to thank you for coming on. You're doing great work, and I look forward to having you back.
Great, Jim. Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you very much, and thank everyone out there for listening. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo.